If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. We'll be doing many live events this summer around the country, which will include artist interviews, contests, and more. Sign up for our newsletter at osirispod.com to stay in the loop. Relix Magazine is a media partner of OSIRIS. For more, visit relix.com. The show starts now.
Thank you.
have been listening to a performance of the Allman Brothers Band classic Blue Sky, performed by the Devin Allman Project, featuring Dwayne Betts and John Stashula, May 2nd, 2018. Living in the shadow of a family member is nothing anyone truly wants to deal with, particularly when your parent is a musician in a world-famous band who is adored by millions of people. Following in their footsteps can be and likely is a daunting task, but being able to carve out a niche for yourself with the rich history of a last name can and is brave and noble. Such is the case for Devin Allman, who has trudged through the music industry for some 20 years, and Dwayne Betts, who has done the same for quite some time. Needless to say, both thrive on their father's legacies and talent, but more to the point, have become great musicians in their own right. We have spoken to both individually, but recently got the chance to catch up with them both on tour as part of the Devin Allman Project. Our conversation started when I asked if Devin's tongue-in-cheek plan for world domination was coming together while on tour with Dwayne and this project. Thanks for taking the time, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
I remember when we talked about doing these shows, you said you're going to take over the world with the Devin Allman Project and, yes. Dwayne Betts.
I think I tongue-in-cheek said,
yes.
You know, it's world domination is the ultimate goal.
You mean you're not taking over the world?
Well,
we might.
If you're doing, you said you've
done yourself short.
38 shows in 43 days?
I think that's this round, something like that.
Well, I think you're pretty close to dominating the world then.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's in your own realm of like thinking. Like it's right. I think that we can say that.
How do you keep it light? I mean, you guys are traveling all over, and you're spending a lot of time together. How do you keep it light so that you can have fun on stage doing this? Because you guys are having fun. I can tell that you're having fun.
I mean, you gotta have great people around you, and we have, I mean, a really wonderful team. There's not a negative person in the bunch. You know, you don't want an asshole that sits around and complains. I think all of us are really deeply in touch with the fact that, you know, I mean, we're going to the gig, and there's the guy working the cement mixer, and there's the guy at the 7-Eleven selling you smokes, and like, you know, there's other jobs out there that aren't as rewarding and touching, and right. And we're really lucky, and I think we all know that.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, you get to a gig, and not every gig is grand and, like, super, maybe not as exciting as another gig, but right. Part of the mindset that you have to have is when you had a gig that was, you know, really big, you know, opening up for somebody at a big, cool venue or a right. festival, and then you maybe hit a, you know, something that's just kind of a stop in the road.
Yeah,
you have to kind of stay in the mind frame of like, well, this is just as important. Like, don't
the people out there are just as stoked? Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah. And kind of take the approach of like, you know, man, we're gonna have fun tonight. We're playing music for people, and yeah.
You know. You guys played Peach Festival 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now. Is it weird for you guys to be on stage at a festival that the Allman Brothers Band corporate entity started?
No,
and that you're
it's our duty, you know.
Right.
I mean, we've had so many people come up to us, you know, at the end of shows on this run and say, my favorite music isn't dead, you know.
Right.
And you know, while we're not out here being a tribute band, you know, obviously it's just a few select cuts every night, and it changes every night. That's for the people and for us to celebrate the imprint that our fathers made, you know,
right.
In music history.
Yeah.
So no, it's not weird. It's an elevated vibe of it's our duty, and let's do them proud and do them right. And, you know, I've said it before. I think that, you know, it's, we should be doing that, you right. know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little different for me because I never had been to those festivals. I've still never been to Wani because of, you know, the history of the band, you
right.
know, with my father leaving the band and that stuff kind of coming in later.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I could have gone, I'm sure, if I wanted to fly to Pennsylvania to go attend. I mean, I'm sure I would be welcome. But I just never had a reason to go. And
right.
then I went last year and I played there, and it was a great vibe and a lot of great artists. And yeah, it's it's a really cool scene there, and I'm looking forward to doing more stuff like that.
Is that kind of where you guys reconnected last year, last summer? Or was it before that?
No.
I think we reconnected years ago, you know, really. I think we crossed paths a couple times, and in the kind of the early days of Honey Tribe, my two outfits ago, we opened for Dickie, you know, and that's where Dwayne and I kind of reconnected after probably many years of really hanging and playing, and
right.
And we run into each other out in California when you come out to see your brother, your sister, you know,
yeah, for sure.
But,
so
you know, just run into each other. I mean, we, you know, obviously met and hung out a long time ago,
right?
And then we didn't see each other, and right. then you see some, you know, you run into each other and you don't see, but yeah, I mean, we'd kind of been throwing ideas around, and we were both doing other things and just waited for the right time, and it kind of opened up to where we are now, I feel like.
While it's not a tribute band, and there are select cuts that you play from the show, and you bring your own flavor to those cuts, the way he handles guitar, are you like stunned at this young man who can play guitar like that?
You know, because when I met Dwayne, he was 12, right. and he was beating on the drums, you know? And then I can't remember when it was, but somewhere through the years, I had heard that he played guitar, and I was like, oh, good. You know, I was thinking like, yeah, man, like, because you could probably kill it like your dad. Like, you should really be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the drums are bad, but, you know, I'm a fan of guitar. But, you know, for me, I played guitar only to have a vehicle to write songs.
Right.
And I never played lead guitar. When I was 33 years old in Honey Tribe, my lead guitar player quit. Couldn't hack the road, and I was like, I'm gonna try it, you know, and if I suck in 6 months, I'll hire another guy,
right?
But if I have a breakthrough, like, I'm gonna try this lead thing, because I happen to fall in love with it, but way late in life. So I've only been playing lead about 12 years. Dwayne's lead playing is like, I mean, I love playing with him now, because it's just like, I'm watching and I'm learning and I'm listening and I'm soaking it in, and, you know, nothing to do with the relation or the fact that I'm an Allman.
Right.
Dickie Betts is in my top five favorite guitar players of all time. His phrasing, his tone,
right.
his touch, his texture, his note selection, melodic structure, like, and Dwayne has his own thing going, mm-hmm. you know, which is, somebody turn that iPhone alarm off. It's probably mine. No, it's not mine. I think Dwayne has a lot of his dad in him, but he's going to some other galaxies, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there were parts tonight in Liz Reed where it was just your own thing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I just get, you know, as you know, sometimes when you're tired and you're just kind of like looking forward to getting a good night of sleep, but you're having fun up there playing. That's when you're just you're like, I'm gonna
go
let's try it. Something that like I normally don't do, and not even really necessarily care how it turns out. Let's just go for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes you start doing some interesting stuff, and I have stock stuff, but I try to play melody, and I kind of play the thing that I like about how my dad plays, and other people play like that too, is he'll kind of back himself into a corner,
right,
with phrasing, mm-hmm. because he's not using stock licks that he knows. He's kind of using stuff that he knows, but what you do is you use it, but you turn it around in a way you haven't done, and you combine it, different combinations,
right,
and you build it up, and you kind of work this thing up to where you're like, how are you going to get out of it? And then you kind of wind out of it, and if you're lucky, you hit a high out of that, and it's kind of like a trick, but it's really not so easy to do.
No.
You can't just do it, you know?
How about Devin's vocal stylings? I mean, if, you know, if you...
Oh, he's a great singer.
Yeah, he's solid, like, the notes all night, right? I mean, he doesn't lose his voice, and he...
No, he's singing really strong right now, and especially when we do... there's a lot of songs, you know, obviously...
Yeah.
But some nights in Multicolored Lady, we didn't do that tonight.
Right.
But man, that one is just like, it's so delicate, and it's hard to sing a song like that when you're put out there like that. And
I had to really reel it in, because I think, you know, I got really excited about how I sang it in rehearsals before the tour started. Yeah. But now it's like, it, you know, I remember my dad used to tell me, he said, it should ooze out of you.
Yeah, right,
it
yeah.
should be effortless.
Right.
And when I go back and like kind of look at some of those videos from rehearsal,
well, it's easy for him to say. I mean, if you want to compare, if you want to compare yourself, I mean, it can ooze out of you, but I mean, there's people it might ooze out of, but right. if you compare yourself to him, it sounds pretty forced.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, anybody, yeah. there's a lot of, there's, I mean, there's some people that just, you can tell, I don't know if you want to say like, if you don't believe in God, just listen to that person, yeah. you know? And I think Greg is one of those people where it's like, it's not, yeah. it's something, just a God-given yeah, thing that yeah. you can't get mad at yourself if you don't sing like Greg Allman.
No, because, I mean, it, you know, that's, he really had, it's like your fingerprint, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, you can try to emulate something, you know? All I try to do when I sing my dad's songs is capture the spirit.
Right.
The intention.
Yes.
You know, the intention of Multicolored Lady, the longing, that, you know, if you hear echoes of him in my voice, great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm at an age now and a level of maturity within my craft where, like, I'll embrace that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going out there going, I want to sound like Greg Allman.
Right.
You know, like, it's just, if you can get into the character of the song uh-huh. and the intention... Sometimes, you know, and we even said, like, you know, there's been some nights where kind of felt his presence, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And but a song like that that's so delicate, it took a minute to just kind of back away, let it ooze out, you
yeah.
know. You know, I think there's, it's weird, it's a tonality thing too. You know, I think there's some songs where I naturally sound a little like him,
yeah.
you know, just in tone.
Yeah,
And there's some sure. songs that I've kind of like Melissa. I don't feel that I sound very much like him, and that's okay too.
Right,
because I'm not him.
Yeah,
that's all right. So yeah. you know,
is it cool having the guitar with you? His guitar. I mean, that's
oh man, it's heartbreaking and triumphant mm-hmm. and humbling and
right.
yeah, it's he left me all his guitars, every single one of them, and. It's heavy sometimes, you know. You don't want to get emotional during an interview, but, you know, some nights I'm up there and I'm like, inner dialogue is, I'm singing your song and I'm playing your guitar and I hope I'm doing you right.
Right.
You know, I hope you're happy. It seems like the people are, and, you know, so.
The one thing about you guys playing, whether it's Allman Brothers music or blues music or roots music, that this band plays or other bands of your generation plays, is that you are keeping that thing alive. Whatever Dickie, Dwayne, and Greg found, you are keeping that alive. And other bands like you, whether it's Tedeschi Trucks or Chris Robinson Band or whatever, you sure. all to a certain degree are keeping that spirit alive. Sure. Do you think it's coming back? A certain in like the public consciousness?
No.
You don't think?
No, I because this music permeated the airwaves in the 70s. It was the Super Bowl of music.
Right.
It sold 5 million records when it hit.
Right.
It was on every radio station. It was on MTV when we had MTV.
Right.
And that's, it's okay that it's not that way.
Yeah.
But that's the cycle of just how things work.
Uh-huh.
But is there an underground, like, thing that's really vital with that music?
Yeah.
That's a tenth the size that it was, but just as sweet and just as powerful? Fuck yeah. All right. day long.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if that makes sense, it's just, it's not on the center stage. It's not on the world stage.
Right.
But the people that follow it, and the people that go to Peach Fest, and the people that were here tonight, and the people that go and watch even Jack White
yeah.
and Jack Johnson and... Is there any other Jacks? But you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's organic
Jack
music.
Cassidy.
No. Oh yeah, hot tuna, yeah.
I think what we've come into just to expound on it a little bit, is like as people get more educated with food and they're looking for organic food right. and non-GMO and like clean farm to table, it's this, you know, it's right. the other sense. It's not the sense of taste, it's the sense of hearing.
A right. lot of different people, stuff going on.
But people kind of listen to the radio and I think they go, well, you know, there's got to be something a little more real, you know, and they find the good shit.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I listen to all kinds of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I mean, when people follow you on Instagram, they can see that you're listening to hip-hop and all kinds
yeah,
of
stuff. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I listen when I get in the car, but I don't listen to, like, I rarely will, I don't really listen to the radio, like,
right.
hip-hop stations on the radio. No, I mean, I like, but anyway.
Records that you like, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'll go, but anyway, like, I mean, there's a lot of good music, but as far as, like, the Billboard Top 100, and some of that stuff, for what it is good. But as far as what we're talking about, you know, there's the whole Americana scene.
Yeah.
You know, there, I mean, what is, you know, I mean, it's just, there's just good kind of classic, timeless music that sounds current.
Right.
Right? So that's what the goal, that's what, you know, what I try to do with,
right.
what I would like to do with my music is.
But it's, yeah, yeah. If 100 million people listen to Beyonce, and then 1 million people follow bands like us and like all these other bands we've discussed. You know, I mean, 100 million people eat McDonald's and 1 million people are looking for that really good
burger,
like the real thing, you know?
Right.
So it's just, you know, it's, I think once people fall in love with music,
Beyonce is the real thing. She's hey, real. Man.
We'll let you go. But before we do, are you psyched about going to Europe? I mean, you're what, 4 more dates in the States and then you're off.
Yeah.
To...
I'm psyched. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I've been going for a long, long time,
right.
and I have a love affair with it, for sure. And it's been a while since I've been. They're hungry for it. I always wondered why Americana, blues, that kind of stuff was big over there. I was like, why is it so, like, I don't get it. Like, what's the appeal? And I was in Berlin. I went out to a blues club, and this guy come out with a dobro, and he started going in the blues, and he's from Germany.
Wow.
Let's just say the accent didn't lend itself
to a dobro.
Now, hey, I'm, you know, I was happy that he was doing it.
Right.
But I was like, that's why. They can't do it with their accents. So
right.
they really are turned on by truly American country blues, R&B. It's just, they can't pull it off, you know?
Yeah.
That alone makes it like a very kind of premium thing. They feel very special when you're there. Like, you know, they also know, like, logistically, like, you've come a long way,
mm-hmm.
and they've waited 6 months. You know, the tickets went on sale, so, man, we're Spain and Belgium and the Netherlands, and, you know, it's the first time for this unit to go.
Right.
There's a lot of the younger guys in the band that have never been, that are just wide-eyed and like, we're going to Spain! Like,
right.
I get to relive it through their eyes, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you've been with your dad.
I've been over to Europe. I was over there with Dawes a few times,
right.
and we did some cool shows. We opened up for My Morning Jacket over there, which they're not like a huge band there. They play like smaller places. I mean, they play 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 seaters, which is. But anyway, that was really cool. But I've been over there with my dad, and I was
food.
I did.
The beer,
this thing with
the
Cody
coffee.
Dickinson and this guy Ian Siegel,
yeah.
who's a really good blues artist from England, and
cool.
We did some stuff over there, and yeah, I love traveling.
We're gonna go now.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for having me.
I really like traveling, and I like.
I like Samsonite luggage.
I like.
Two great men who are certainly carrying on their father Greg Allman and Dickie Betts' tradition of creating great music both on and off the stage. No doubt their climb as professional musicians are experiences many can't identify with, but it is clear that while they do pay credible homage to their situation, they also too are carrying on as most musicians do with a larger purpose in mind. You can learn more about the Devin Allman Project at devinallmanproject.com. Check out the new Dwayne Betts EP, Sketches of American Music, wherever you listen to music or at dwaynebetts.com. As we leave you, have a listen to this special treat, the Devin Allman Project featuring Dwayne Betts covering The Grateful Dead and Friend of the Devil, taken from that same performance, May 2nd, 2018.
Blinded out in Reno, I was trailed by 20 hands. Couldn't before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Ran into the devil and an old bed 20 bill. Spent the night in Utah in a cave up in the hill. Said I'm running and I take my time. Some sleep tonight. Ran down to the levee, but the devil called me there. Took my $20 bill and vanished in the air. Said I'm running and I take my time. Friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Mr. Jackson Stokes on that guitar over there.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit osirispod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.